Bible podcast. We hope you'll enjoy this message by Pastor Joey Bonifacio.
I've entitled this message Mise en Place in honor of the French culinary term, which is to mean to put into place, to gather and prepare the right ingredients, putting into place so that when you cook it, you serve only the best. It is no different with our relationships. Choosing the right ingredients, that selecting the right things that you want to put in your life so that you can take the finest and the freshest of these ingredients in order to serve the best for the relationships that you and I have. And the ingredients for lasting relationships is, first of all, choosing humility. To choose humility is to choose to be humble yourself, but not just that, but to choose people whom you know are humble themselves. It's hard to have a relationship with people who are not. Choosing it as a lifestyle and to choose the people who are humble begins in Philippians chapter 2, verse 8. This is Jesus himself modeling this idea of what it means to be humble. Being found in human appearance as a man, he humbled himself, there it is, by becoming obedient to the death, to the cross. In other words, Jesus chose to be humble even though he was undeserving of this level of punishment or enduring pain. But Jesus chose to be humble. God associates himself with the humble, by that we say he gives grace to those who are humble. Choosing humility is one of the key things that you're going to build if you're going to have the right thing in terms of relationships. Humility doesn't start with words or even your actions, but it chooses to be following yourself in a posture of humility before God himself. James chapter 4 verse 10 says, "Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up." Humility begins with yourself putting yourself in a position of humility before God. And notice what it says. When we do that, he will lift us up. Many times when we think of humility as the other end of pride. The truth of the matter is the other end of pride is not humility, but actually insecurity. You'll find that people who are very insecure tend to be very prideful, and people who are very prideful tend to really be insecure, and that's why they have to lift themselves up. Humility is actually a posture to God and a zone of confidence and security, but confidence and security in God. When you have that, then you live within the zone of confidence and security with God, you'll find humility all day long. It's when you step out of that confidence and lead towards yourself, either insecurity or insecurity, which begins to be about me. When we become about pride, it becomes about my confidence is in me. When we become insecure, we become insecure because my security is in me. Humility is to stay in the zone where God is. It is the zone that says God is the basis for my confidence and my security. Apart from this, it will be very hard to be humble regardless of how you behave or how you talk or how you dress, because you might be dressing very elegantly and still be humble, or otherwise you might be dressing not as elegantly and actually be full of pride and insecurity. Choosing humility is the beginning part, or one of the key ingredients we need to choose if we're to have lasting relationships. The second mark of choosing humility is it progresses into valuing others above yourself. Philippians chapter 2 back again says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above ourselves or yourself." Do nothing about selfish ambition. While you may be ambitious, Jesus had an ambition to save us, but it wasn't selfish. And vanity obviously is not the way to go. The key to proving that is this: in humility, value others more than yourself. Now, it doesn't mean that these people are necessarily better than you. As it is with God, we are not better than him, but it's choosing to value others. Choosing humility begins with a posture in God, progresses into valuing others above ourselves. And thirdly, back in Philippians chapter 2, it says, "Not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others." The final point I want to make about choosing humility is, yes, it begins with our posture in God. Yes, it progresses into valuing others above ourselves. But at the end of the day, the result is it in the interest of others? The future will prove that whatever happens in the end, who gets the true interest in this? Humility is choosing to begin your posture with God, progress in valuing others above yourselves, and they might not be better than you, smarter than you, richer than you, but you're choosing to do that. And the end result is you create interest and values for others. Point number two is choose passion. Often when you hear the word passion, this is the second ingredient to quality relationships. Or if you think about mise en place, good food, choose the right ingredients of humility. And secondly, choose passion. Often associated with an athlete or an artist, and you start wondering, why is passion always associated with people like that? Well, the reason why is just like it's Djokovic or whoever, the willingness to suffer and to sacrifice and to train because of this thing that you passionately love. That's literally what passion means. To suffer the pain, to sacrifice for it, to train, to eat right, to sleep early, to do the right things because you're so in love with the sport. No different from an artist like Picasso, who's willing to be ostracized and laughed at for his art, and yet because I'm so in love with it, I'm willing to suffer and sacrifice for it. It's true even for relationships, much more so for relationships. Choosing passion, passionately saying, I'm willing to suffer for the people that God has given me. That would be my relatives, my wife, my children. Because apart from passion and the willingness to do that, you probably don't have the real mark of love. The true mark of someone who loves you is when you see that they're willing to suffer or sacrifice for you. Romans chapter 8 verse 18 says, you consider the present sufferings not worthy of comparing to the glory of the relationship that will still be revealed. Usually, the thing that's going to be revealed is down in the future. But for now, you need to be willing to suffer for. It's willing to sacrifice because we love the thing so much until we can see the best version of it. The first thing you need to understand about passion is to suffer for, but the second thing is to suffer with. When you start thinking about the idea of passion, it's not just athletes or artists, it's lovers. And this is where we get the word compassion, or to suffer with. Throughout the centuries, you'll find books like La Belle et la Bête. It's the French fairy tale about this beautiful woman who fell in love with this ugly being, which is today the modern version that Disney has popularized, The Beauty and the Beast. Why do we fall in love with stories like this? Stories like The Arabian Nights or 1001 Nights and Aladdin, where a princess willingly goes against the courts of her father because she has fallen in love with a man. We see it through the years over modern day movies like The Notebook or The Titanic, where the rich girl is ready to trash everything to fall in love with the poor guy. And it's on and on and on. We fall for this idea of sacrifice and suffering. It resonates with us because of the passion. Even today, the next generation talks about the woman who's willing to give her blood to the vampire so that he could become a human. But all of this is really just because we fall in love with these movies. We like these because we see the mirror of suffering, sacrifice, willingly given to us because someone loves us that way. The problem with all these stories is they're all fantasy. Jesus, on the other hand, is not a fantasy. Isaiah chapter 53 verse 4 says, surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished and stricken by God and even blamed him for the punishment he got. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that was brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. All of these verses speak of the goodness that God has given us, that he paid a price for because he passionately, willingly, willfully loves us. Choose passion. If you're going to build lasting relationships, choose to suffer for, to suffer with. But more than that, passion is not complete if you're just suffering for and suffering with without joy. Suffering, or passion rather, is about suffering for and suffering with joy. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2 says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. Notice the words, the joy set before him. He was willing to endure the punishment, the scorn, the shame of all of this because he loves us and the joy he set before us. Verse 3 says, consider him who endured such opposition for sinners. When we can, he's willing to do that for us, we should be willing to do that for others and not grow weary and lose heart. Choose passion, to suffer for, to suffer with, and to do it with joy. Why? Because you believe these are the key ingredients for quality relationships. Humility plus passion, and the final ingredient is servanthood. Choose these. When you choose humility, choose passion, and choose servanthood, you will become more and more successful in your relationships. Philippians chapter 2, verse 6 says, "Who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage." This is about Jesus, speaking of the fact that he's a member of the Trinity, that he's just as perfect as everyone else, but did not consider that as an advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing and taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. He chose servanthood. In the same way that Jesus did that, in the same way that Jesus chose humility, in the same way that he chose to be passionate and suffer for us, in the same way that he chose servanthood, we need to choose to be the same way. Choosing servanthood begins with serving with your best. Jesus did not give us the spoils or the little things. He gave us his own life. If we're going to see relationships and we're choosing servanthood, that means we're serving at our best, whether that be our family and our children, whether that be as a husband, a spouse, a wife, whether that be a friend, whether that be in society, whether that be your vocation, whether that be the way you treat people at work, at home, or in society itself, choose servanthood. Choose to serve your best. Serve like you're serving God. Look at what Jesus did again in Matthew 26, verse 39. He went a little further. He didn't stop from where he was. He fell into the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, take this suffering and sacrifice from me, but yet not my will, but your will be done. I'm doing this for you." When we're serving others, it's hard to serve others when they don't appreciate what you're doing. But learn not just to serve your very best, but serve like you're serving God. And finally, serve those around you every day. In other words, don't just serve when you feel like it. Make it part of your lifestyle. Choose it to be part of the way you live. You want to serve your best. Whenever I prepare my materials here, it might not be the best preaching that is out there, but this is my very best. I prepare my own slides. I do my own work. I do my research because I want to serve with my very best. Whatever you are, whatever you're doing, whether you're a cleaning woman, whether you're a driver, whether you're a waiter, serve your best. Serve like you're serving God and serve those around you every day. The people that are closest to you, the people you're working with, serve them. Now, as I summarize, what is mise en place? What are the best ingredients for lasting relationships? Choose humility. Begin with your posture in God. Progress with valuing others above yourself. And the end result will be to the interest of others. Choose passion. In other words, a willing to suffer for, a willing to suffer with, and a willing to do it with joy. And finally, servanthood. Choose servanthood. Serve with your very best. Serve like you're serving God. And finally, serve those around you every day. Join me in a short proclamation of Jesus. As we pick up the bread and the cup, join me in this quick prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you that you've modeled for us how it is to have great lasting relationships. Help us to choose these things that you've given us. To choose, Lord, to be humble before you, to choose to be passionate and the willingness to suffer for, suffer with joy. And finally, Lord, teach us to be the kind of servants that you are. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said, Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Every Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you've been blessed by today's message. For more information, visit everynation.org.sg.